There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And yep. Most regrettable.
150 something. I always have to look it up. I have to like go to our actual website and look up what episode was the last so I can title this next one.
I'm subscribed on Google Podcasts, which I'll take a look.
Oh, okay.
I only have that for a couple more weeks, and then for whatever reason, Google Podcasts is shutting down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you have to join us at Spotify, though.
Yeah, I know, and the rest of them is so gimmicky and it's flashy, and I love the Google Podcasts. It's simple. It's like Google.
I don't understand Spotify. I really
Spotify?
Don't. Like, I paid for it for a while. Like, I had a three-month whatever free trial or some shit, and then I paid for it, and I enjoyed it, and then I was like, go back to free Spotify, and it doesn't do... I don't understand it. So let's say I look up a song. I can't just look up the song. I'll have to look up a playlist that the song is in, skip through those, hit ads every time, and then I listen to the song. You can't even rewind the song a little bit. It makes no sense. Like, if there's a part of the song you want to listen back to, you have to go exit, reload the playlist, and go through. It's an absolutely useless dog shit app if you're not paying for it. So I'm not using it.
And they're in trouble right now too, aren't they? I believe they've had a
child
couple of probably. No, I was thinking more along the lines. They had a few of their bigger podcasts jump off here recently. And it just seemed like, I don't know if I read an article last week or if I just took it upon myself to assume that something must be going down with Spotify, because it just seemed like three of the big ones. Obviously, Joe Rogan is now available again on Apple Podcasts, so that means a deal either ended or whatever with Spotify.
I thought he just signed like an even bigger deal with them. I thought he signed like a $300 million deal or something. Maybe
that was about five years ago, wasn't it?
Like brand new.
Well, maybe that included
months, maybe
iTunes or whatever. So maybe it wasn't a big deal.
Maybe it was proposed and then they decided to go elsewhere.
Maybe,
with
but
it.
I did see Joe Rogan this week. I want to say he posted that his podcast is available on Apple Podcasts again.
I did see a full episode on YouTube as well. Like, he did the Cat Williams one. He released that in full on YouTube.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand what that whole Cat Williams thing was about. I watched some of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, Cat Williams, he's kind of stunk for a long time. Like, he was funny, and I still think he is funny just conversationally, but his specials are they're terrible to get through. I mean, you know. He's coming to Little Rock, I think, it must be Little Rock or Hot Springs. I don't know which one. And I was like, meh.
I mean, everybody knows him from Next Friday, right? Or Friday After Next. Yeah. Which one was it? Friday After Next.
I don't even remember.
It's the Christmas one, right? Or are they all Christmas?
Well, I don't even remember. What was he in it? What was he
He
in
was the,
movie? The
pimp. Pimp down in the bathroom. Okay. What's his name that has the dancing pectoral muscles that does the...
Terry Crews
was the guy that just got out of jail looking to get him some of that little
Debo,
meat.
Like
style,
Debo
dude. Yeah.
Style, yeah.
It's the first thing mentioned on his Wikipedia page.
Just, Cat Williams?
Yeah.
That
he was
Friday
in Friday
After Next.
Oh,
okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, of course, like 1,000 little cameos and other shit, and then his comedy, which was funny. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say he's not a funny guy, but I haven't liked a special he did in, I mean, a decade or more.
And that was
it's
one of his...
Kevin Hart-ish.
Yeah, that was one of his claims, that Kevin Hart's did like 2 specials since he blew up, and he's done like 22 specials or something like that.
Yeah, name one.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know? Yeah, couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
The Cat Williams special, maybe? Though?
Yeah.
I just guess.
And then he did that podcast right at the beginning of the year, and people were like, this is the year of Cat Williams.
Yeah.
And
he was in all the headlines.
Yeah, for calling out. He just like called out Joe Rogan and called out his crew of unfunny comedians, which is true, you know, and I guess how, you know, the climate is the political correctness or whatever, but it's like, it kind of still reminds me of like, Dave Chappelle's joke about, like, where's Ja? Where's Ja Rule? Like, where's Cat Williams, man? We got to know what Cat Williams has to say about all this.
Well, there were a lot of people claiming that he was uncovering the deep secrets of the of Hollywood, and, you know,
he has like info on everybody, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And like, what's the one that does the Madea? Tyler Perry. Yeah. He said that Tyler Perry was like one of the deep state like implants from the man or something. It was pretty funny the way he put it.
Yeah.
Very conspiracy theory.
Sounds very Gary Busey-ish, you know. Like, it's one way to get your name in the headlines.
Yeah. He was gone off that yak. Yeah. Like Busey.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I watched a couple random clips from it, and people were like, bars, this guy's dropping heaters. And I'm like,
he sounds like he has a mental health problem. Yeah. Like, I mean, he just, my goodness, like, just read, I, he just sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or
I keep it real. You know, that's about it.
Yeah. It's like, maybe write these things out before you say them, is my suggestion.
Yeah.
It and sounded to me kind of like, when I first heard it, it sounded to me like he was just salty that he hadn't had any movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the ones he was mentioning.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I guess, I mean,
I'm about to release all this information.
Yeah. So I can maybe get a couple movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, and one of them, he was like, well, isn't there a rumor that you're supposed to be writing the next Friday movie to come out? He's, oh yeah, Ice Cube and I are writing it right now. You know, Ice Cube's one of the few that hasn't been attached, you know, taken over by the deep state or whatever. I don't know.
Was that right?
Yeah.
After but, Are We There Yet 3?
Basically, any male actor, black male actor that had to wear a dress.
Yeah, everybody's thinking like he uncovered that.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle was talking about that 20 years ago.
For real?
Yeah.
Which one did he?
He referenced Eddie Murphy. He referenced Chris Rock.
Well, I mean, more specifically, that white execs in Hollywood make these black. Oh, he said
that was the point.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, this has been on the table for a long time. Is he really acting like he's, you know,
open that? Oh yeah,
he's got the smoking,
and everybody's
gun
giving
on
him the. I don't remember.
That's insane.
I didn't watch a lot of his stand-ups back in the day, so I couldn't tell you about him making the same statements already. But
yeah,
that's so.
He is
nobody else
late,
is bringing that up. You're the first person I've heard
on that. Yeah.
Wait. So what's the
that like? In order for you to reach the next level as like a black comedian or something like that, you put you in a dress. It happens every single time. Like, white executives go, "Come on, Eddie,
gotta get in a dress if you want to do it."
A dress again, you know. And then they also play multiple parts of themselves. Like right around when Norbit came out, that's when everybody was like, "Okay, this is." You remember Norbit?
Yeah,
mid-2000s. You know,
like a big like a mole on him or something. It was Eddie Murphy, right?
Yeah,
like
it was Eddie Murphy. He plays himself, and then he nerdy. Plays. Yeah, he plays like a nerdy version, and then he's dating or whatever. And
gotcha.
Yeah, like
I didn't
he's
watch
Norbit,
it, yeah.
And then he's dating like this big fat black girl who's also him. You know, like in a dress.
Gotcha.
You don't remember that one?
No, I don't remember. That's crazy.
It was right around then, you know. And then like, look at all of them. I mean, yeah.
You sure you're gonna talk about the clumps?
No, because they
remember
did
the
that
clumps,
too. Yes,
right?
Of course. Yeah,
that was Eddie Murphy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and Nutty Professor.
Yeah, Nutty Professor.
That is the clumps.
That is the clubs?
Oh, yeah, it's the later one, isn't it?
It's the clubs. What do you got? Or no.
Yeah,
yes,
Professor
yes, it
was,
is.
Not a Professor 2, the clumps or whatever? I think that's what it was, right?
Well,
that was a
spin-off. Just the family.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
But they did, like, separate movies
about
the
clumps,
right?
Yeah, they did a separate one called The Clumps.
But there
yeah.
was clumps. The Nutty Professor,
right.
Which was a remake
was
of that
original
one dude,
yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis, or how was that? No.
No, that was the singer.
The High Lady guy.
High Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he is.
The high and the high and the high.
Yeah. He's like a real nerdy guy, and then he turns suave. So what's the one with the clumps then?
It's the clumps, isn't it?
Yeah, the clumps is, I don't know.
Meet the clumps?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, you might be right.
Meet
yeah.
the Fockers.
You might be right. Did like, you know,
Fast and Furious
Christmas,
Clumps edition?
Yeah. Christmas with the Clumps or
yeah.
something like that.
Lord of the Clumps?
Yeah, it's the one where they go, you know, it's like, what does he say? Yeah, okay, it is. Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps. So it was The Clumps in the first one. I'm just trying to remember the thing that he says in the first one as the big fat clump.
Oh.
Not that.
He did say that, though, quite a few times.
I'm sure he said that a couple times.
I have something like with my throat going on, so I couldn't do it that great.
Okay, I see.
But you get my point there.
Yeah. What is it? He goes, Hercules. That whatever that is.
Hercules.
Yeah, yeah. That's where that's from. Okay.
Yes, exactly. So there you go.
So I caught my wife watching Hercules the other day, like the Kevin Sorbo Hercules. And I was like, Hercules. I had no idea where it was from. So, yeah.
A lot of those come out like that, I think.
Yeah, people definitely.
Pick them up from somebody else saying it, no clue where it came from.
That was a memory that did not deserve to be memorized anymore than what it was.
So you have like Tyler Perry, you have Eddie Murphy. I know Chris Rock has
the
done
new Woody
it.
Allen.
Chris Rock, that was another one of them that Kat Perry said, oh, that's Hollywood Chris Rock now.
That's crazy.
He said, though, Chris Rock, he worked with on the very first Friday, which I guess he was just writer or something. He didn't have anything. I don't remember Cat Williams at all on the original Friday, personally.
No, I don't know. Okay. Not that I remember.
But he said, he said that was, quote unquote, Hollywood Chris Rock.
Rock was like a writer on Friday? Or?
I don't know. No, Cat Williams had some writing credits, I thought, on Friday for the original. I know he helped him write the other ones, but I don't know if he had original credits. But he did say the first Chris Tucker we knew on Friday was not the current Chris Tucker, the Hollywood Chris Tucker, one that's been in a dress on movies.
You know, and I might be getting it wrong. It might not have been Dave Chappelle. Maybe it was Patrice O'Neill that I'm thinking of it.
Okay.
Like, it was 100% talk about, like, why do you think that all these black dudes, all the black comedians have to dress up as a lady at some point? Bringing it real conspiratorial again.
Right.
But this is like
mid-2000s.
They got
both the Wayans brothers.
With white girls. That was another one that that was referenced
when
as well.
When did Chris Rock have to dress
at one point?
He wore a dress in Fifth Element.
Yeah.
He did wear a dress in Fifth Element.
That was Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Chris Tucker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rock. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
That's my bad. Yeah.
He had to do something at one point.
That was a dress he was wearing in Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker.
The boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leopard print thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. He was with Will Smith and something or other. What was it on? Oh, he was in a dress on Fresh Prince. Chris Rock. So
now,
randomly,
is it an inside joke for execs to get these big time, these big time stars to get a dress on?
Well, it was like, this is what you have to do to get to the next level.
Right.
Like, there's a difference between black fame and white fame. And when you want to reach that white fame, this is the type of stuff that they make you do. Because you can be like black famous, black rich. And this is all coming not
you're not saying this. Yeah.
You know, it's just like there's a certain level where they're going to make you be Toby. If you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You ever watch Roots?
It's kind of proven who's the boss.
Yes,
if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Chris, we're going to need you to dress
dress
again.
Yeah, dress for this one.
Yeah, yeah. That type of thing.
And that's what Kat says. He says when he turned down the role that would have put him in a dress is when he never got another offer.
Oh, I see.
Basically.
Yeah. I'm not, and that's fine. Obviously fine for him to talk about. And I guess not everybody's going to be into what's been talked about to me for the past 20 years. If they want to discover it through Cat Williams, it's not an issue. But it's like, if you think this is groundbreaking or new,
theory's
been around for a long time. It was either Dave Chappelle or Patrice O'Neill, or when they were both on. You know, Chris Rock loved Patrice O'Neill. Not Dave Chappelle. Chris Rock, I'm talking about. Rock loved Patrice O'Neill. In fact, did you ever watch Everybody Hates Chris?
I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Terry Crews was in that, and the dad.
He was his dad, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was
extremely cheap.
Yeah. That was written for Patrice. Like, Chris Rock didn't even do any auditions or anything, just wanted to give that to Patrice, and Patrice is the type of guy, he just never showed up. He just didn't do it. Like, he was so weird about his career, and maybe lazy, but also, like, he doesn't want to get involved in industry shit. And that's why you saw him in The Office for like a couple episodes, and they were
very low-key character, right?
Yeah, but they were like, you'll be around forever. And he never made it past the first season because he would just go to on set and be like, this shit is stupid, trash the executive and walk out. That was his style.
Gosh, what freedom, though. Like, that's a whole other plane right there. Mm-hmm. Most people started, want to be something like that, but don't ever have the cojones.
Most people have to have that fuck you money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do that. Exactly. Yeah.
Spike Lee was another one who really loved Patrice O'Neal. And Patrice was like doing some touring or something, and Spike Lee literally called him and was like, listen, you know, I want to put you in this movie. I want to get you to do this and blah, blah, blah. And Patrice was like, you know, and then like put the phone down, didn't call back. And Spike Lee's leaving messages like, mm-hmm. can you please get back to me? And then finally like gets through to him and he's like, can you make it here on this date? And Patrice was just kind of half like, and he was like, all right, then just, you know, major movie roles.
Yeah.
Major TV roles. All just said no to it, you know. This is an interesting guy, for sure.
Yeah.
When did he pass away?
Mid-2011? 2010? Oh, okay. Something like that. Yeah. Oh. Right around the Charlie Sheen roast. That's like the last thing he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which he crushed. Diabetes, and he had a stroke. Okay. And
which at this point, everybody knew that Charlie Sheen had AIDS by this point?
That might be before that, or maybe he had AIDS, but nobody knew that he was purposefully spreading it without telling and all that.
I'd say Patrice would be the one to have a lot of fun with that, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might have been before that. You know?
Okay, so he missed out on that.
It was the Tiger Blood era, which I think was still before the AIDS reveal or something like that. Something like that. You remember Tiger Blood? No, that was like when he did this, you know, Charlie Sheen did this insane drugged out interview where he was like, I have tiger blood and I'm, you know, and I don't know.
I missed that
shit.
One.
Yeah. That was a weird time for show business back then, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, I think he had like just lost his job at
Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I never really watched that one either.
It was funny to me, but only Charlie Sheen.
Gotcha.
Charlie Sheen was hilarious.
Was it Matthew Broderick?
The guy who looks like him.
Yes,
he looks like you're right. Matthew Broderick's older, nerdier brother.
Yeah.
Taller.
And the kid was funny.
Yeah, the kid was pretty funny, too. Yeah. You know, and the funny part was Charlie, you know, was just like a major player. You know,
right,
like just always having beautiful women over and stuff. And he was rich.
And his brother was like gay.
Wasn't gay.
He was trying to know that he was.
And a total never had money and was terrible with women, but the well-to-do guy.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was funny. It was a funny show. Like, if you go and watch the Charlie Sheen clips on YouTube, there's like a 10-minute compilation. You've watched the show.
Really?
That's it. Yeah, you don't ever have to actually watch an episode. Gotcha. just the funny parts.
Right. That was it did stand out in a time when the sitcom was, I feel like, losing its place in American entertainment. Because you had some, like, I feel like How You Met Your Mother came in strong. Like, I feel like that had the chance to be like one of the good sitcoms, and I think it petered out bad.
Oh, yeah.
Quick. And Zero I watched a little
MPH
bit of it.
Took that one over, right? Neil Patrick Harris.
The big reason to watch it, I guess, was him.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Kind of like how in Big Bang Theory, it was only Sheldon that you watched it for. The rest was awful.
It was awful.
Zero chemistry.
Terrible, really.
Those fake-looking, chemical-filled faces and fake clothes and fake sets and no chemistry and all that. And then Sheldon was funny. That was it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just from a sheer like social or just awkwardness.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
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 And then like, you know, would say big words and people were like, oh, I don't understand what that means. That's so funny.
I remember hearing people saying like, I feel smarter after watching that episode. Like, read a book. You're not going to learn anything from that. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Never watched an episode, so I don't know. It could be the most brilliant show ever. But Neil Patrick Harris, I think the best part for people watching How I Met Your Mother is that he was just like, was womanizing. Like, he was always with chicks and stuff, and everyone's like, but he's gay in real life.
Exactly. You know?
But he's gay. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Isn't that a trip?
Yeah. He's killing it with all the women. It's because he's gay.
Yeah.
Gay guys always get all the women.
According to Jim, that was that era.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad.
What was it? King of Queens?
Please tell me, according to Jim, it's not still going.
Like, oh,
it can't
I don't
still
imagine.
Be.
No,
yeah.
No.
King of Queens, I will say, I think it was funny, but it also was contributed to the death of the sitcom as well. Like, no doubt. You know, it was that classic formula, like, kind of fat, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's like a real life Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Like really doesn't care about his wife or his family, or like is really.
But his wife in that show, I always
super
thought,
hot. Yeah. And then same with According to Jim. It was like, you know.
That was unrealistic though. Like the one with Paul Blart, is that his name? No, that's
Mall Cop.
Kevin James.
Kevin James, thank you. At least his wife in King and Queen, she was still like a little chubbier and like I could have seen.
Ramini, no, she was skinny. Yeah, skinny Italian.
Yeah, okay, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Probably.
It was somebody with a fat Italian.
So y'all mentioned, because I didn't really watch a lot of sitcoms in the 2000s, mm-hmm. in the mid 2000s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So I was just looking up a few since y'all, mm-hmm. and all of the ones y'all named mm-hmm. were here. Here's a few that you haven't named, and here's one of them I did watch a lot of, Scrubs.
Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed
different.
That.
It was different.
Yeah.
It was different. You're right. Yeah. It didn't follow the same sitcom set style.
Know,
yeah.
Like that's,
exactly.
When you look at a sitcom is a sitcom because often for most of the scenes, it looks like a play.
Yeah. Like a set. Like it's just one set. Room. And like it goes to the next. Yeah. Set.
90% of Seinfeld could be done on like Broadway.
Right.
You know, it looks like a set, you know, and it's not like Scrubs is the camera, but it's still good. And it's still a sitcom, but it was a different, you know.
Yeah, you had the internal monologue.
Yeah.
Parts of the show.
Funny.
And definitely some great characters. Oh, like, man. It was just super wacky, right?
The dude from Platoon.
Oh, yeah, doctor, yeah, he was yeah, main doctor.
Very
yeah.
funny.
Yes.
And yeah, I think it was one of those, like, where... there have been a lot of hospital shows, ER,
never making
General
fun of
Hospital,
them.
Yeah. but never making fun of them. 100%. You know, so I think maybe it was a little groundbreaking in that regard.
Did y'all ever watch Rules of Engagement with David Spade?
What? No.
Oh my goodness, that one's one of the ones up there with How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang Theory. Yeah, so I was just curious.
So he had another because he had
Don't Shoot Me.
Don't Shoot Me,
which was terrible.
Yes, that was garbage. That was in the 90s, wasn't it?
That was late 90s, early 2000s. Maybe it made it to that.
Am I thinking right that Alec Baldwin was in that? Don't Shoot Me? Maybe I'm thinking 30 Rock Son. Or
yeah.
30
Rock, yeah.
How about Arrested Development?
Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Groundbreaking.
I never watched it. But I do remember that it was a big hit.
The show's very good, and I think part of why it was so good, it was only 4 seasons, and
it was three before it made it to Netflix.
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah. So I didn't like it as much, especially what they did to Michael.
Oh yeah, like you're talking about after they came back.
Yeah, after they came 100%. From the Netflix. Yeah,
it was still funny.
Yes,
you know. Definitely not as those near
first,
as good. Yeah.
Highly recommend those first 3 seasons. It's very good, but it does take on very unique, you know, this rich family who the patriarch gets caught. What was he like illegally? He was embezzling and then illegally like helping finance Saddam Hussein's Iraq.
Oh,
yeah. He was like involved in weapons. Like just the whole thing comes crashing down. This rich family trying to, you know, now have very, very much humbled, but trying to have to navigate the rest of their existence. It's pretty good.
Super clever foreshadowing and little stuff like that. Like in the first season, they also have Bluth's banana stand. Mm-hmm. Like it was just a banana stand in like an amusement park or something that always, you know, was always there. Classic in the family. Like all
it's
the
like
young
on the boardwalk
kids. Would,
and,
young kids would work it in the family and stuff. And from prison, the dad was always like, well, you remember, there's always money in the banana stand. And it wouldn't bring out that much money. Like Michael was always like,
never
all
understand.
Right.
Yeah. We raked in $30 today. What do you mean? There's money in the
always money in the banana stand. Then the banana stand burns down, and he's like, "There was literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, like lining the walls of the banana stand."
Shit
like that. Dude.
That's where they
hilarious.
Were hiding it. Yeah,
so
that's
funny. Man. There's and always money.
They had the brother Job, who was a magician, or not? He said,
"Will Arnett, dude.
Will Arnett. He was so good." And what was it? One of the times where Michael, his brother, was just like, "You know, you can do your tricks or whatever," and he's like, "Tricks? I don't do tricks, Michael. Tricks is what a hooker turns for money. I'm an illusionist." Very good character.
He's like, "Tricks is what a whore does for money." And he's in front of all the kids. He's like, "Or candy."
That's right.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Jason Lee. And this is the South, so you'd think I would have loved this one, but I couldn't stand My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a fan.
It seemed all right.
So,
but.
It wasn't terrible, but it was so like... I don't know if I'm going to explain this, like fake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like they tried to hit the quintessential Southern dude, but they missed the mark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just wasn't. It was like a New York City guy was writing for the South.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. To quote Tyler, it was written by a bunch of assholes on Madison Avenue.
Yeah. That's
there you
right.
go. Exactly.
Yeah. But I did try to get into that show a little bit just because, if I remember right, his girlfriend or his on and off again girlfriend from that show, she was also in Joe Dirt. What is her name? I know it's not Lisa Marie Presley, but I always think it's, you know what I'm talking about. You remember Joe
Dirt? She played Barbie recently?
Yeah, is that Margot Robbie?
No. Oh, I know you're talking about, it is Lisa Marie Presley, or it's Jamie Presley.
Jamie Presley, yes. That's it. I think she's the hottest thing in the world.
Oh, and she's very pretty.
Yeah.
Very pretty. 30 Rock? Did y'all ever watch 30 Rock?
I watched a little bit. It was okay. funny. Yeah. Okay. It was funny.
Okay. So that was Saturday Night Live people, right?
Yeah, I guess you had Tina Fey, you had Alec Baldwin, which were staples on there, and Tracy Morgan was on 30 Rock, funny. It wasn't like 100% my show, but funny.
The Office, would that be?
The Office is a sitcom. It revolutionized The Office and Parks and Rec, you know?
Oh, yeah, Parks and Rec is another one I was looking at.
Mockumentary kind of style. Yeah, it was classic. Very different, yep.
Yeah, and that... But again, a whole bunch of shows on that zone
went way too long.
Yes.
Yeah. And when Steve Carell, like he's what made the show, but he's like, I can't keep doing this anymore. They should have just canceled. And they just struggled to. It's like you shot an animal and you just let it run into the woods and die on its own instead of finishing it off.
For sure.
Well, there was one that does the guy. Okay, who's that new comedian that you've been talking about recently? He's making when you said Patrice O'Neill, I thought it was him, but it was not Patrice O'Neill. It's
Shane Gillis.
Shane Gillis. Thank you. There's a guy that looks just like Shane Gillis in this one, and I've lost it now, but it was. There it is. Did you still standing? Bill. His name is Bill Miller, but look at that.
It
looks
damn.
Just like Shane Gillis.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it does.
I never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That one came out in 2002.
That dude looks familiar.
Yeah. So
looks just like Shane Gillis.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So that, I mean, obviously, you just read. I mean, none of those are really, like, for me, the quality that Seinfeld or even Friends.
I mean, the closest thing would be, what, The Office? Because it had so many seasons, maybe.
Mm. And the Office was so different that it was like it. Took it into a different
Good
like
point.
one of my favorite sitcoms ever, if you could call it that, is Louie, where Louis C.K. does his show, and at one point in it he gets offered a sitcom, right? And it's like, you know, Louie or whatever, and they get on, it's all the tropes, it's exactly according to Jim. So in the filming of it, right there, it's the episode is the filming of it, and he's like in the you know, he's in the kitchen and he's all fat and gross, and he's got a wife who's way hotter than him who comes in. He's like, he like opens a beer on the counter and he's drinking it, and the wife comes in. She's like, "You didn't open that on the counter, did you?" And he goes, and it's all stilted, right? He goes, "Nope." And she's like, "Are you lying to me?" "Yup." And then she goes, "Oh, honey, I love you." And then he just sits there for a bit and he stops it and he's like, Can we do this again? And he's like, "You know what she used to say? I'm leaving you." You know, like it gets real dark. He's like, "That's hilarious. I'm leaving you, and I'm taking the kids." You know, and he's like, "Sick of this fucking sitcom. We're like, everyone's on the wife is way. What are you doing here?" She like, it's like some failing actress. Like, what are you? You know,
I love it.
Like, say, "I'm leaving you."
Oh, it like turns the whole thing on.
And then they lose the sitcom through it. You know, and
a similar thing on Extras. If you remember, they were talking about some British sitcoms.
Extras is so fun.
Extras, very good, and it's about a guy who's an extra on movie. Like, he's a professional extra,
where he
like desperately tries to get just one line in a movie because he gets paid more money if he just has one line, you know. And it's Ricky Gervais from the original Office, the British Office, which to me, pound for pound, better than the American one,
and only
two seasons, so that was helpful. They didn't have time to, you know, when you tell destroy a good
it.
Joke,
yep.
leave,
yeah.
leave immediately, yeah, 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 you know, yeah. leave on a high note. Extras was great, and he ends up getting this show. I forget what it was called. like
Where the Wind Blows, or when the whistle blows.
When the whistle blows. And he's just so sickened by the whole project. He finally got he like hit somebody, read his script or show idea, and was just like, yeah, let's do it. We'll fund you. And it's like, oh, but we need you to do this, that, or the other, you know, take away all his creative rights from it. And he just is disgusted by it. But there's a great episode where it was like the season premiere or something, the first episode premiere. He goes to this fancy fancy restaurant bar, or nightclub, fancy club, gets in there, and he gets in like the VIP section, and he's sitting with like David Bowie shows up and just trashes him, like sings a song, like impromptu song about how fat he is, and fat little
sad
man.
Sad little fat man.
And he ends up going back to this bar where he's at before, where some fans of the show are at.
They're rubes.
Just like hills of eyes kind of people, but like wrong turn people. But he's like, you know what? I'd rather be with these people at least, you know, who are just like, say your catch line from the show.
Yeah.
You having a laugh?
Yeah.
You having a laugh?
And then, but my favorite thing is like, I think it's like one of the first episodes. He's just an extra at this point. And at one point he squeezes himself into the shot, like he's in the background. He's like finally gets his face into the shot, and they're like, "All right, cut," you know. And then he's like kind of walking up to the director, and he's like, "Shot was good. We just got to cut that fat bloke out."
That fat extra,
you know.
There's some of the greatest parts of that show are the cameos. I think it was like maybe the first episode something where it was Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller was directing a movie about like the Yugoslavian war or something. The Bosnia-Herzegovina conflict or something. And Ben Stiller seems like he's the nicest, most genuine, extremely funny guy, but he plays himself in this show as a complete asshole and just like yelling at people. And Ricky Gervais's character calls him out at the end. He gets fired for it, but you know,
they always have the cameo of a famous person coming on, just being a horrible, like they had Kate Winslet on, you know, from Titanic, probably a perfectly nice person, but like she's filming a World War II like Nazi movie where she's a nun and she's trying to help people, and like it's this real emotional scene where she like sheds a tear, and they're like, "All right, cut," and she immediately lights up a cigarette and she walks out and she's like, "I'm only doing this for the Oscar." She's like, "Now you want to play a spastic, that's where you definitely get an Oscar." You know, like, and all this like awful.
It's like, can you say that?
Oh my goodness. Really bad. Horrible people.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. They have him on there in an episode. Jean-Luc Picard, who's like, he keeps telling people about his ideas for films, and he's like, and at the end, the woman takes all her clothes off. Like that's his big thing. Is he just wants women to be naked around him? And
every single time they had a cameo of somebody on there, they were either just like way too into themselves or just super mean and just bad people. That was a great one, the original Office. And then like you have to go way back, you know? I mean, so when you get back to the older sitcoms, so you have Taxi,
which
I
favorite?
Really liked. Of the old ones?
Yeah.
He's a MASH man.
I do like MASH. Hogan's Heroes. MASH is good.
Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son
was
great.
The first season, especially. Now we could go 90s and back on that. Anything in the 1900s.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm a huge fan of The Honeymooners, which is like one of the first ones. I mean, Ralph Cramden is at
like it. I Love Lucy, right?
Yeah. I Love Lucy is good, but forget Ralph, dude. Alice Cramden had the funniest lines in that show. I mean, can you look that? Is that 50s? That's got to be 50s.
It's totally black and white,
right? Honeymooners, completely black and white. I do love News Radio.
55.
So
ahead of its time, then.
Yeah, dude, The Honeymooners is hilarious now. I mean, it all holds up, and it's exactly the opposite. It's Ralph and Alice. They hate each other, and Ralph makes no money. He's completely broke. Yet Alice has to always like play up and make the house look good for people coming over and stuff. And
son-in-law's meathead.
Meathead. Yeah.
Remember that.
And then so going back, why am I thinking?
All in the Family, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right. That's why I was saying Meathead.
Which had some groundbreaking. So that was a 70s thing, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And it had its own groundbreaking moments, especially. especially in regards like interracial relations.
Yeah, yeah. They tackled racism. They tackled all kinds of shit.
I think that was the first one a black man called a white man white racial slurs on national television.
Made him look like a complete idiot.
And they went back and forth. Yeah, they went back and forth calling each other
I wish
racial
you could
slurs.
Find it. It's been scrubbed. I think the only way you can find it nowadays is if you add the actual like DVD or maybe even VHS set, but there's an episode of Happy Days that is so freaking funny, dude. Like a black couple moves to the neighborhood and they want to get like married in the neighborhood, like on the front lawn and stuff. And have you ever watched Happy Days?
Oh yeah, tons.
You know,
of it,
Did you ever see this episode?
I can't say
I wish I could find it online. I can't find it freaking anywhere.
They scrubbed that bad boy.
They scrubbed it. So you know, but you still have like Fonz coming in like, hey, what's wrong with a black guy? You know, he's pretty, black guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was the liberal of the time.
He was the liberal of the time. And then you had like, you know, what was the neighbor's names? Like Mr. You know, Mr. and Mrs. whatever, Williamson or something, were super like, you know, who are these people moving into the neighborhood and shit? So weird.
Yeah.
So super weird.
Not to take this on a different tangent, but I hate sometimes this attitude among progressives in the country right now where they feel like got to erase that stuff.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
we're not, right. we're like not emotionally happened. Or mentally mm-hmm. mature enough to be able to look at that and be like, that was stupid. That was stupid. Right. Those opinions and, back and, then. And like the Office episode, the classic one where Diversity Day.
Yeah.
Scrubbed. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, do you realize that the point of the episode is that he's an idiot?
Yeah, and you don't want to be Michael Scott in that episode.
And the point of the Happy Days one is you want to be the Fonz. You always want to be the Fonz.
I like
a black guy.
Exactly.
You don't want to be
the neighbors.
Anybody else. They're all the idiots, and Fonz was the good one, you know?
Yeah.
And Richie, you know, and all that, but... Yeah, so
I feel like MASH had some
MASH
had some episodes of that where either was staff or like a or it was a patient who was black that like some of the doctors didn't want to work on
something like that.
Yeah, and you did not want to be one of those people who did not.
Yeah,
like they wrapped it around that concept. It's like this was stupid, so don't be like this.
Yeah,
and liberals today have taken that beginnings of showing people what they were doing wrong. And taking it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just messing it up. Messing up the whole idea. Yeah. Just the fact that they even mentioned the subject. Exactly. I should erase it. And it's like, no, they were doing it in a good way. Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing to look back. Like, they want Friends completely gone.
Yeah.
And, and it is, if you look at it, it's probably weird by nowadays, like, standpoint, like, six white, straight cast members.
Yeah. Yeah. That would not fly.
That would not fly
nowadays.
There's
no way.
But it was, you know...
But it was life for some.
It was life
for
some
people.
Of those. Yeah. Exactly. You know, for most people, because most people,
you stick with
have,
the people
you don't
that look
have
like
a melting pot of friends.
Yeah,
like, you know. I mean,
unfortunate.
I, you know,
that
yeah,
is
yeah.
just kind of how things shake out
for sure. You know, it's just sometimes the way it is. And excuse me, but yeah, no need to erase it. Look at it and be like, you know, we don't have to. Do that show moving forward or whatever, but it's just whatever it is.
Yeah, we could have a black, queer, transgender, atheist,
You know, star or comedic relief. Like Kramer.
All right, y'all want to rapid fire a few to just see if y'all had, of course, Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Always
stuff.
Funny.
For sure.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock was funny. Third Rock. That's the one with John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Your wife loves it. We've watched it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They're aliens. Yeah. That has moments for sure.
Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching since I was a kid, but I used to like it.
Yeah, I used to love it as a younger kid. Yeah. Y'all mentioned King of Queens earlier. That ran through both the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah. So. It wasn't bad, but like I said, contributed to
absolutely.
The death
it was
of
the
of
start.
The
it was the beginning
yeah,
of the end
beginning
for
of
sitcoms,
sure.
that King of Queens. That 70s show.
Oh,
I love that
one. All right.
I guess it started
good.
In the 90s,
but it went
and
too late.
Carried over.
Yeah. That one went too long.
And then they had that 80s
show, which was garbage.
Oh. Yeah, it was a garbage.
And then they just did that 90s show.
Isn't it good? I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. Yeah,
but it's like a recreation of that 70s show. It's just where they all, and then Danny McMasterson.
Yeah.
The most hottest.
Tanked all that.
Yeah, he did.
But Kelso, dude.
He was hot. He was awesome.
Funny.
He was awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Damn it, Jackie! I can't control the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. After Eric gives the coat to, and she's like, "Kelso, I'm cold." Damn it, Jackie! She was hilarious.
Yeah. What did you just say,
Roseanne?
Roseanne. That was
Roseanne
a good one.
Was great. It was
a
good one, man.
Another one where they tried to reboot it. Then Roseanne came out with some crazy stuff on Twitter, and they were like, "Now canceled. It's the Connors." Yeah, and she's dead in the Connors. Yeah,
guys, instantly. How about the nanny? The hottest slash the most annoying. In the same picture.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Absolutely. I wanted to call me Mr. Sheffield.
Fran Drescher might be the hottest. And what she would wear.
Yes.
And
yes. Or the hair. Oh, she's just so good on it.
Fran Drescher.
She's something else.
Did y'all watch
man.
Everybody Loves Raymond?
It was all right.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah, yeah, not
was,
for me.
I always wanted to see the episode. It was like, Raymond, I need you to help me get the stripper out, dead stripper out the back of my. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Well, come on, we got to bring him on. He's gonna dump the body off in the East River. No.
Yeah. Martin.
Yeah, Martin was great.
I watched a lot of Martin
was great,
day.
But
I don't remember that one.
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, Gina.
It was like it was black Seinfeld.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
we would That's sit good. When they would sit down when whites would sit down and watch Seinfeld, black dudes would sit down watch and watch Martin. Martin.
Yeah,
Frasier loved it.
Who was the hey, Kramer?
I
in
didn't
the show?
Like Kramer. Framer. Frasier. I don't know. I never really watched Martin, but Martin Lawrence is hilarious. I've seen some clips. Who was the? There was a Kramer in the show. Goofy.
Frasier was all right.
Frasier was up. Yeah, no, I'm off Frasier.
Party of Five.
I didn't like it. Didn't ever watch that one.
I don't know that one. Where my I believe it was
who's in that
Jennifer Love Hewitt that I fell in love with her on that maybe.
Yeah,
nope, Neve Campbell. It was Neve Campbell. That's where I fell in love with Neve Campbell. Mad About You was my favorite of all time. Paul Reiser.
Yeah,
and was it
Helen
Meg
Hunt?
Ryan?
Right?
Helen Hunt. Yeah, Helen Hunt.
I forgot about that one.
I had a crush on Helen Hunt as a very young man, and I always thought I wanted to be Paul Reiser living in a New York apartment with Helen Hunt.
As long as Helen Hunt,
exactly,
yeah, living a hole in the ground. With
I was
Helen
only like
Hunt.
10 or 12.
Yeah. She has such a unique look about her. Yeah, she's very,
very much so.
Yeah, I love her.
I guess that's about it. Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks was funny.
Do y'all like that one?
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace was a big one. Yeah, that was getting to that one for
like
sure.
It.
King of the Hill, Grace Under Fire, Kenan and Kel.
Yeah.
Rock. You remember Rock?
Which one was that? Rock. No,
you don't remember that one?
That one.
He was kind of a dealt with a lot of, it says a hardworking family man supports his extended family. He just dealt with a lot of, I guess, black family issues, you know, dealing with white people come and, you know.
Oh, Bernie Mac show. Remember that was
That
was pretty good.
Bernie Mac show was hilarious, dude. Bernie Mac might be one of the funniest humans to ever exist. Mm.
Bernie Mac was also not one of the ones. Cat Williams said he was not one of the ones.
He never made it into No Dress. You couldn't push him. Yeah.
No way, man. Yeah.
Bernie Mac. So there's a great Def Jam. You have to go and watch the Bernie Mac, like, you know, Kings of Comedy or whatever it was. There's one where the dude before had already pissed the crowd off. And Bernie Mac comes out on stage. He's like brand new, like people barely know him. And he just absolutely owns an entire fucking room of screaming, angry black fans. You know? He's like, oh, what is he? He keeps saying something over and over that he didn't write this. He just came out and was like, basically like, I'm taking no shit from nobody, you know, like, and just kept, it's a legendary.
Hell, he was a big stout dude, you know, like if he had ever hosted an Oscar and made fun of
Will Smith's wife.
For alopecia, he would not have got slapped.
No,
he would not have got slapped.
Yeah. Him or Terry Crews, either one.
Yeah.
What the hell is he saying? He's like, I'm tired of this.
And last but certainly not least, I still have the box set of the entire, how many seasons was this? 6 seasons, Northern Exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dr. Fleischman.
I forgot about it. That's where he's like a New York City, really neurotic doctor, gets sent to Alaska.
Gets like sanctioned by the medical field or whatever. And so to keep his license, he has to go serve in Alaska or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's right. And there were some characters in that show. From what I
love the radio DJ. One of my favorite.
The
slow talking Indian radio DJ, Native American radio. Was it? No, he was on it. He was on it with him. That was the other guy. Oh, what's his name? The slow talking. Never mind. I was thinking
there was like a super rich guy who had a bunch of land. He's like, he took the DJ out one day. He's like, you see that mountain? He's like, I want you to be my son.
Right.
And I want you to have all that. And I was always like, dude, I want that mountain.
Yeah.
It was just like one mountain covered in trees. I was like, I'd be fine with that. Like
so
one.
Darren Burroughs was Ed, the guy I was just talking about. But the, John Corbett, Chris Stevens. Yeah. John Corbett was the, DJ, right?
Ooh, I don't remember any names.
Yeah, that guy. That guy
yeah,
was the DJ. Yeah. John Corbett, a.k.a.
Super
Chris
young,
Stevens.
Though.
Yeah,
in Northern,
yeah a lot yeah. younger than that. Yeah. yeah.
So I kept getting it wrong. The Bernie Mac thing where it came out, he just kept saying it over and over after every joke. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
I love it.
yeah.
yeah.
Looking at, I don't think you're much of a fan of it, but looking at a Canadian sitcom, there was one called Corner Gas. It was only around for a handful of seasons, but that one is, it had its moments where it was exceptionally funny. It had some really good writing behind it. At least as good of a sitcom as can be based in some 500-person mm-hmm. town in Saskatchewan in the yeah. middle of the prairies. It had some really
I definitely
really good
don't
moments.
Hate it. It's so, just I can't it's
someday well somebody's gonna walk cup. In and you know I've been listening to the Regrettable podcast and I would love to write the Easy Mart story from you guys.
Oh yeah.
Just yeah. you know, a compilation a whole, of Easy Mart
yeah.
visits.
Oh goodness. Yeah. yeah.
Too many characters.
And it would
half of them getting killed off, definitely. Like this.
Oh yeah, it's like Game of Thrones, dude. I don't know. You just starting to like them.
It would start every episode would start with that thong when you open
yeah,
the door.
Yeah. And then it's like I feel like just there would be episodes where one of the main clerks would just walk out of the store and get run over,
there
and the
go.
Body would be left there like GTA. Like, and it would just be there for a while.
Yes, yes.
I ain't gonna pay me to clean
exactly.
that up.
Yeah.
yeah. What was it? Was the last episode we were talking? Like, there was one I was just starting to get the like, and then blam, he'd been stealing lotto tickets.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, man.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We got enough stories to create an entire
yeah,
sitcom.
Way too many. We went through where there was the Beast, the Big Baby, the Behemoth.
Oh my goodness. There the was she had grown parts of her body that like that I did not like yeah. medical science would be like
yeah she was a marvel
actually, yeah
yeah
that was
she was growing books
she was actually growing that thumb for somebody else
yeah
she's on her back
she's now in a tank
it was more than like this thing and that thing and yeah there's a lot of extra parts
she's in a large tank in Orlando
yeah it's like you ever seen Dune the original Dune
yes
you remember when they
the big fat guy
the Space Guild
oh no
like I think it's close to the beginning when they bring in this tank and then it opens up and then there's like this creature that's kind of swimming in there that's just like tells the emperor of the universe like this is what you're going to do
right I don't have no memory of it but I know what you're talking about yes
yeah there were like the creatures that allowed space travel to occur faster than light travel they were gotcha. Like weird shit that was her look like her yeah
nice. I couldn't get in like through 40 minutes of that movie
which yeah, one the original one the or OG. The remake
I never watched the remake
the remake's great yeah. I loved the remake still now Dune 2 is out now also
it is out now yeah yeah, yeah, happened, yeah. Right? So I've been waiting for the out. Second to come out and so because that was just to me I always loved the story and I love the original one so much that I didn't want to have it I didn't want to catch the first one without the second one being around.
I got to
give it another go. I think I was maybe just in the wrong place watching that.
That's possible.
He was fine until like the scene Baron Harkonnen is floating around and he they drag in like a young man and he like pulls the plug on him and drinks his blood and it's just real weird.
Well,
it's very, if you can get past that one scene,
yeah.
it's a good movie.
I think we paused it for a smoke and I'm like, I'm not
going back.
Yeah.
See, I was on a plane. So yeah. I couldn't go anywhere.
You were not
so they had a captivated audience, but I did enjoy it. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, man. Watching a ton of movies recently. I've kind of replaced any kind of video game playing with a lot of movies. So Tremors.
Over What's the that? Weekend. You came back like on Monday on the radio. It was like, I watched this one, that one,
yeah,
this
yeah.
one, that one. I'm like, dang it, dude.
Tremors has to be in like the top 25 movies of all time for
oh,
me.
God,
oh, yeah.
For sure. It's so good.
Yeah. It's a great
Damn it,
movie.
Valentine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kevin Bacon. Best movie he ever did. I mean, I don't know.
I would say
Hollow Man was all right.
Hollow Man was the first pair of titties I ever saw as a kid. That was the
first pair of titties. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like some part where he's like creeping on her.
He walks into the Hollow Man. Yeah, he is the Hollow Man. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like she's in the shower or something.
I think the first one pair I saw was maybe Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, there was a pair in there, or was it Whole Nine Yards? that you're thinking of?
You know what? It might have been Whole Nine Yards. Were you Amanda Bynes?
Amanda Pete.
Pete. Yeah.
And her silly tits. Yeah.
Oh, they're pretty silly. I don't know. They're fine. Fine, my book.
And then also.
And it was like, she was like totally naked. There was just like a banister that was covering the best parts.
Yeah. She was leaning out the window, yelling. It's like, was hey, that up here, you know?
But there's one, she's like in a hallway, like the second story of the house or something. Yeah, and it's just like the banister railing is covering up.
Another one of the first pair I saw was Starship Troopers, when all the ladies taking a shower together. And like all the men, ladies, everybody's taking a shower together. And yeah, great movie. I've been meaning to watch that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was good.
The book is supposedly really, really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Starship Troopers?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it was originally a book. And
great picture of like boobies in there, too.
It's a drawing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched Saving Private Ryan. I watched No Country for Old Men. I watched Tremors.
No Country.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I recently rewatched it. Got to watch it.
Top 10.
Got to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Top 10 movies of all time, for sure.
I still remember the first time I ever saw it. It was at a buddy of mine. He was having a little get together. There was like 10 or 12 people there, and he just had that going in the background. And it like, I guess it just started as soon as I walked in, and I was looking. I was like, what is this? And it's a scene where Llewellyn stumbles, almost right at the beginning, where Llewellyn comes across the whole scene, you know, and he's lived all the guns everywhere, the cash, and then the dude dying by the tree, and Agua, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I talked to anybody else for 2 hours until that movie. I was just utterly fascinated by that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Coen Brothers, right?
Kid. What's that, sir?
Coen Brothers, right? Who did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, phenomenal. And
great directors, you know? Coen Brothers have a great...
And what's Llewellyn, the actor's name?
Josh Brolin.
Brolin.
Yeah,
Brolin's been great. And
oh, the voice.
I don't know if
that,
I've
dude.
Seen him in anything else, to be honest. But yeah,
he's True Grit.
I've seen one other movie. I want to say the Coen Brothers wrote that one, too. Or he's like in the dark somewhere. I'm picturing him right now in like some back alley in the dark somewhere. Is that also?
That sounds like that No Man's
Land. Okay, maybe. Okay.
No Country,
yeah.
No Country for
maybe
Old
I'm just picturing another.
But Javier Bardem, had anybody heard of him until he did Anton Chigurh? And I think he was the only. I know No Country for Old Men won a bunch of Academy Awards, but I think he was the one actor who got one out of that movie.
There was a recent study where they took a bunch of psychopaths like from movies and then lined up their traits with actual psychopathic tendency traits or whatever and determined he was the most, I don't know.
Most psychopathic
I didn't
of them
pour
all.
Over the data myself, but it was determined that he was the most epitome of a psychopath.
See, it seemed like he was not a
right.
Like he seemed very rational and logical
rules.
About everything he did.
Principles.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, like I was thinking about it the other night, just how Woody Harrelson's character in there, he's another
Garza.
Assassin type hitman type whatever, you know, fixer kind of guy, and just how sloppy he is walking around with his big cowboy hat, and he stands like a sore thumb, you know, in El Paso or Mexico, wherever they're at. Whereas Anton Chigurh is just like, dude, just in the shadows. The
Angel
whole time.
Of death.
That's
what
you see him, you probably means you're dying.
And Cormac McCarthy, in almost every work he did, he had some representation from hell. Like they say, Judge Holden was, you know, was
the devil
himself, and who's the angel of death? That's
the Grim Reaper.
That's the Grim Reaper. And so that would be, you know, Anton Chigurh and stuff. Yeah, interesting on that. But yeah, you're right. And at the like, you still nobody really quite gets it in the movie except for Carson, how dangerous this dude
right.
is.
Yeah.
Like even those dudes who take him to the site, and he just kills both of them.
Yeah.
Like what were they doing?
Yeah.
Like why would they even be near this guy? You don't see this guy and live.
Right.
Like that's how he is, you know, unless you're that old lady at the trailer park who's
a
badass.
Yeah, she's the one who defeats him.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's like
thinking about it.
I just want to kill you so bad right now, but it just would not make sense to kill you.
But yeah, and he's telling him about it. He's like, this guy's after you, Chigurh, and he's like, Sugar. Remember?
Yeah.
Like in Llewellyn?
Yeah.
Sugar. His name's Sugar, you know? And he's like, well, if I'm looking to make a deal, why don't I make a deal with this Sugar feller?
He's like, you don't make a deal with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I watched that one. There was one more that I watched. The Count of Monte Cristo. And that was a pretty good one.
I've not seen that one.
Yeah. I figured that was one that you and Caitlin maybe had been into or whatever. Guy Pearce and Jim Caviezel. Pretty good, pretty good.
Well, speaking of him, you said you watch Ravenous as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I watch Ravenous.
Good movie. I don't know if you ever seen that one.
Uh-uh.
Mm. It's a bit of a
go ahead.
Cult classic, underground. Yeah, yeah. You made the point that they marketed it very poorly.
Go, if you watch the movie, don't watch the trailer before you watch the movie, but watch the movie and then the trailer. It's a very dark movie. There's some dark comedy in it, to be sure, but it can be a rough one, you know, a rough watch, very very visceral, right? And then you go through it and you watch the trailer. They didn't know how to market it. It's like, in a world where, you know, like you that either are gonna choose, you either have to choose what's next for dinner or be dinner or something like that. I don't know. It was like really like that one song that's bone on, I don't know. I remember all the fucking old like 90s movie trailers had that same, you know, song behind it.
Yeah.
And the same deep voice guy.
Wow. Yeah.
In a world. Yeah. That guy was it.
Rob Schneider.
He died not that long. I mean, like 10 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Where are we at?
10 minutes till Jay's got to go.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know anything else.
My boy's getting married tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Jr.
What?
Yeah, Jay Jr.'s getting married tomorrow.
Know that's about this. Now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
getting them all married.
Yeah.
Married to his lady that he's been seeing her for a while?
Yeah, they've been together for a year and a half, I guess. Oh, okay. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe a year. I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Well, heck yeah. So and they're doing that in OKC?
Yes.
Yes. Cool. Yep. Great. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So congratulations to him and his bride-to-be.
Nice. Are they having a big thing or just kind of family, just, friends only?
Yeah, just kinda? Like probably about 40 people of, I guess.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Friends and family. Small gathering. But
that'll be awesome.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be a good time.
40 people to my wedding. I mean.
My dad was not at my wedding, so I don't remember. Like, is there something like the father of the groom is supposed to do besides like help pay for it?
He asked if I would do a toast.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm gonna do
it's
a
all
toast.
We can trust you for, Jay.
Well, on the radio, you some least he can do is give a toast.
I'm gonna give him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him some advice on marriage.
Yeah.
Same advice I gave to you on parenthood.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
My toast is going to be that long.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep. I just want to say something real quick, son.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got this.
You got it.
Y'all figure it out.
It's nice you'd be there. At my wedding, my dad, like he claimed, or he, you know, he was, I don't know where he was living.
Allegedly.
Yeah. That he thought it was the next week.
Oh, dang.
Even though, like, got an invitation.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then he changed it to say he was too broke to come.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah. He just forgot what he told you the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we weren't even invited. Or why are you even getting married? Yeah. Apart from that, we got 299. I want to mention it real quickly tomorrow. UFC 299.
Yeah.
And Sean O'Malley is headlining it.
Yeah.
And he stinks on the mic. He is awful, and they are really trying to push him.
Really?
And he is charismaless, devoid of any charisma. I mean, they are trying so hard, and here's how you know why.
Okay.
Back in the day when you had a mega star, you could easily make one pay-per-view, have him headline it, and dog shit fights underneath it.
Right. And this then one, it would be good.
They backload these to make it seem like Sean O'Malley is a big star. Yep. They're letting him fight in pink shorts as a champion.
Okay.
So they're bending all this shit for him.
He's going to have pink hair. Why not? He's got to match his shorts.
You would hate this guy.
Is he like an LGBTQ plus?
No,
I don't think so. He's just wacky with it. He has clown hair.
Okay.
He's like 6'9".
On his face.
Takashi.
Yeah, he looks like Takashi 6'9".
Yeah.
Sorry. And now he's got pink shorts and stuff. He's very entertaining to watch in the cage. But apart from that, he is awful. I've been watching him all week, and it's like they are pushing this guy.
He's not like a Toastmaster kind of guy.
They're trying to model him as the next McGregor, but McGregor had mic skills.
Yeah.
You know, he had viral
that
moments.
That was part of the reason he became Conor McGregor because of his mouth. Now, O'Malley does have that podcast.
It's awful.
I've only heard clips.
He stinks, and he's just high.
Yeah.
And he's just like, bleh, 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 bleh. Like, he's not. He's
not
zero
the good
charisma.
Kind of high like Joe Rogan.
No, no.
He's just like
watch his podcast.
I got you.
It's bad. He's.
But I did pick him to win this weekend.
I think he will win.
I think he'll win.
Yeah.
All right. So here's our picks. Here's Tyler and Jay's picks.
All right. Pick it for me. Yeah. All right.
Well, I help.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll be a tiebreaker.
He helps me. Actually, I messaged him. I'm like, hey, this is who I'm picking on DraftKings. Who do you think I should pick otherwise?
Yeah.
No, it's we got O'Malley And then we got Della Mad. What was it? Della Mad.
Della Maddalena.
Maddalena.
Which I would pick him because he's got the momentum and Burns is lost. His, yeah. Yeah.
Alameda.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Yan.
Yeah.
You don't think Yan's going to do it? Dos Anjos and then Holland. Or was that the original one?
I think Kevin Holland will win. I don't think Dos Anjos will win by any stretch. I think, yeah, there's no way. Gamrot is like, he's future champion to me or future champion caliber.
I feel like y'all talking about Mortal Kombat characters now.
Yeah, yeah.
What was
Gamrot.
That? Gamrot. Yeah, yeah. Dos Anjos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time I ever heard of Gamrot was when he was fighting Saryukian.
Yeah, and, yeah, there you go.
And
Saryukian.
Yeah, yeah, and you were like, Saryukian. And I was like, Gamrot. Yeah. on the air, we were doing that.
Yep.
Saryukian.
Saryukian.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like something you'd say in Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Dos Anjos is a crafty vet, though. He hasn't won at lightweight in a while. That's but, true. You know, he could pull something out. Jack Della Maddalena, I'd give it to. Kevin Holland, for sure. I don't think MVP stands a chance. And then I want Yan to win. I hope Yan wins. I think Yan will win, but he starts really slow, and Song Yadong starts really fast. So, depends.
Say what? On. What'd you say his name was?
Song Yadong.
Song Yadong.
Yeah. Yan, what is it, Dutch or something?
No, Piotr Yan.
Piotr.
The fucking Russian ice cold machine, dude. Yeah. But he finally speaks English now.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched him at the press conference. He'd never speak English. And somebody's like, Peter Yan, what does it mean for you to try and get your winning streak back? And he's like, I come here to force measure this guy.
It was great.
I was like, okay, awesome. All right. You know?
Oh, that's so funny.
I come he's for like, here a smash yeah, this guy.
I'm,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm come here.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
come here.
I'm come
for
here.
Smash.
For smash.
For smashing.
Yeah. This guy.
He said, I'm 7-0 boxing. This guy is, no, I come here for smash this guy. And so he nailed it. And
Tyson Paul fight, is that on?
Oh.
Is that for real?
Yes, in July.
So, yeah, way off. That. Yeah. Today, actually, I think right now the card is going Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua. That's
I saw
going
that.
On like right now.
What so. Is up with that?
I don't understand. That's Qatar, Saudi Arabian dudes. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You got billions and billions and trillions of dollars. Yeah. You might as well.
Is yeah. this going to be a fairer situation than when he fought?
Well, I mean, he nearly won. I mean, yeah. Most people say.
Or am I talking
won.
Out my ass? I don't know. I just I feel did, like there was a lot of controversy.
Did
with
you
that.
See the? Did you see the presser? Mm-hmm. Where who did he fight again? I forgot.
Tyson Fury.
Tyson yeah. Fury yeah. was in the crowd and started mouthing, and he Ngannou was like, "Have no I'm gonna you know paraphrase." Yeah. He said basically, "He said make no mistake. Boxing rules saved you.
Yeah.
Without boxing rules, you're nothing in front of me."
Yeah,
that was in essence what he said.
So. It was the one thing I could have given to Francis going into that fight is that like Tyson Fury leans on his opponents a lot.
Yeah,
and it being 6'9" and that heavy is like really heavy, but
not on that kind of guy.
Francis can wrestle,
and he moved
he
back
can wrestle.
Too. We got to weigh a lot.
Yeah,
he got to weigh a lot better
big
than most.
Boy,
yeah.
You know, so his didn't work. Whenever he would lean on Francis, Francis would. Break the clinch with a big uppercut or yeah. something like that. So
and this is a dude that's like his punch has been measured as like
yeah.
as 2 911s or 1 Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah,
going
yeah something like yeah. that. 38 miles an hour. Or
yeah, or like yeah. 3 Shaquille O'Neals.
Yeah, and, about 3 Shaqs in his
yeah,
hands.
Man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, so he nearly beat the heavyweight, lineal heavyweight champs, and now
yeah.
he's fighting a contender, and you know. Excited to see how that goes down.
So AJ's that good, rematch, though. You think?
AJ
that?
Is very good.
Nice.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Yeah, but yeah. I think Fury's probably about done. If he fights Usyk, I'd be surprised. I think he'll retire before long.
It's big money fights coming
yep.
up next
yep.
to whoever he fights next is going to be a big money fight, right?
For sure. For yeah. sure. Mm. But I hate boxing, and yeah. it's just such
so
a
slow.
Boring sport to
so
watch.
So slow.
Yeah. You know?
I did read recently that Tyson Fury was born like premature.
Yeah.
Like he was born like 6 months old or something.
Isn't he like the smallest of his family or some crap?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the biggest in his family.
Oh, biggest in his family. Okay.
But he was born like a, you know,
little bitty
like a tiny little premature baby. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, like, there it is. Like as little as you could be born kind of thing.
Yeah. And then he's like 6'9 and 280 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Chicken Nuggets did it.
No, definitely. We'll bring all the results of these fine fights next week.
Yeah.
And more.
And more. And we'll watch some more movies. You guys got to watch, or what was it?
Ravenous?
something. Or yeah. Mothman Prophecies, too. I watched that one.
Count of Monte Crisco.
Yeah, the Count of Monte Crisco.
The Butterfly Effect, since we're talking flying.
The
things.
Number 23. Yeah. Room 1406 or whatever.
Oscars this weekend.
Oh, yeah, right? Oscar fever. You got Oscar fever?
I got a little Oscar fever. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Do you watch that?
No, but okay. I watch.
Thank goodness.
I watch
a version of it.
I watch a version of it. Yeah, yeah.
Too much to get into right now.
Absolutely. I'll have to get back with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get out of here. You got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go. So we'll do that, and we will see y'all next week.
Peace.